It was clear that Zoe was completely incapable of ruling on her own, and they therefore selected husband number three, a man by the name of Constantine the Ninth Monomachus. Constantine the Ninth is perhaps one of the most corrupt emperors ever to sit on the throne. He indulged Zoe, who died in 1050, his sister-in-law, Theodora. He openly kept his mistress in the courtroom. There's all sorts of stories by Michael Psellus about Constantine the Ninth. Michael Psellus does tell us that Constantine the Ninth's great virtue was to recognize the brilliance of Michael Psellus, and that alone should get him in the records of history, at least in Psellus's opinion. But Constantine the Ninth handed out frivolous appointments, cut back on the military, and by his reign, the vast treasury that had been assembled by Basil II had been spent out, and they begin debasing the currency. There's also all sorts of administrative and fiscal cutbacks. And with his reign, the imperial dynasty is passing a watershed. There's no chance of any children. Constantine dies in 1055. Zoe had predeceased him. Theodora rules very shortly on her own, the second sister, and she nominates an emperor to follow him, follow her as her son, a fellow by the name of Michael VI. But it's clear the dynasty is spent. By 1057, the last connection to the imperial dynasty is gone. And now that opens up a number of problems, because it's now open season to any aristocrat who can take power. Up until 1057, no one would move against the institutions of Constantinople. And here is an irony in that Basil was so successful in forging the institutions of the capital, in forging that great power, that these frivolous nieces of his could hold power for so long after his death, for 30 years, and no one would move against him. Well, in addition to a failure of imperial leadership that was clearly on at the capital, you have to realize that in all of these medieval states, that the personality of the ruler is quite important. Constantine VIII sent out the signal. No one of quality stayed at court. It was all corrupt. The only service that was at all respectable was the army. And starting with Constantine VIII, and particularly Constantine IX, all officers of any kind of caliber were eventually removed. This is particularly true of a man named George Maniakis, who staged a revolt in 1043-1044. He had risen in the ranks under Basil II. He commanded veteran forces in the east. He had served in Italy and eventually was driven into rebellion because of the corrupt and oppressive policies of the Emperor Constantine IX. He was unfortunately killed by a stray arrow while besieging the city of Constantinople. And one thing about Constantine IX, he was the most lucky of emperors. Always his rivals seemed to disappear. He had no control over events, but nonetheless, he lucked out on more occasions than once. Another important aspect is that the central government no longer took Basil's policy seriously. Taxation became heavier. The Slavic and Armenian populations were alienated by the court officials, central bureaucracy. The Slavic rite was suppressed in the Balkan provinces. The Greek rite was imposed. Greek prelates, that is, abbots and bishops, were appointed as appointees from the capital. Steadily, the provincial populations who had been incorporated into the empire and had been won over by Basil were being alienated. And this, the Byzantines would pay a high cost when the Crusaders show up in 1095, 1096. Finally, this inept government opened itself up to two new foreign threats. And it's a real debate whether the Normans in southern Italy or the Seljuk Turks in Asia Minor were foes that would really have taxed the ability of Basil II. Those of us who are admirers of Basil II would say that Basil would laugh at these foes and they would simply go away. But in truth, the Normans and Seljuk Turks were quite successful because of the ineptitude in the central capital at Constantinople. The Normans, let's look at them first. As I had mentioned earlier, they had migrated from northern France to southern Italy first as Byzantine mercenaries. A number of them were actually on pilgrimage also to a shrine of St. Michael in southern Italy.